Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Football Twaddle. I'm Arush and I have along with me my co-hosts Saru and Baru.
What's up?
So before we go into the international break, this time we have too many things to talk. And amidst, we are just actually looking at the transfer season, getting a news every minute almost. But yeah, let's start with the weekend matches, because this weekend I think was crazy. So which was the most impressive result according to you guys this weekend?
Either West Ham versus Liverpool or Palace against Chelsea. I think Palace against Chelsea
this
probably.
Swansea versus United also.
Oh yeah.
I think like a lot of United fans, you just want to erase that from your memory, don't you? But I think apart from all of these big ones, what I found most impressive was Arsenal actually winning it in a weekend when everyone else was losing. Because usually Arsenal just goes with red. Achha, tum log bhi haare, chalo, theek hai, abhi aa jaate hain. Because we don't want to gain any points on you guys.
Because yeah. They played first, no, so they didn't know what is going to happen.
Exactly. That's possibly one of the
Arsenal
biggest
doesn't
factors.
Compete with City. They compete with people who lost that weekend and say, look, we'll just try and beat you guys.
But yeah, actually, to Saru's point, I think the most impressive was Crystal Palace only. A, because it was 100th match of Mourinho. Actually, they were trying really hard. I mean, Chelsea was trying really hard. Just the second loss in 100 home games.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I think...
Yeah, that's a great record. But I guess this is what happens. Remember, I think Wenger's 700th game or something was against Chelsea. And that was a 6-0.
I think it's a monumental thing. Was it a 5-1?
No, 6-0.
There are so many big scoring games last season. You know. On this note, who's managing Palace right now?
Alan Pardew.
Pardew, do you say?
Yeah. Again, the curse of P continues for Mourinho.
Why can't Mourinho just talk to Bejan Daruwala and sort this P thing out once and for all?
Daru, I don't think he even needs to raise Daruwala. I mean, everyone's just like,
who else manages? There's Pulis, Pardew, and Pochettino and Pellegrini. Is there any other P or is Chelsea like 10th this season?
We spoke about the silent P in Arsene's name.
Yeah.
Parsons.
Silent
P. Well, let's go one by one. Swansea versus United at home. After going down 1-0, that was terrific from Swansea what they did.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, the way United were celebrating after that one goal from Mata was like they just won the league or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Swansea brings in a defensive midfielder. And
they change
the system and they go all out and then they beat 2-1. That was brilliant.
And I think even just now, 4 matches into the season, but I think we already have a contender for celebration of the season.
I know.
He was really good, I think. Every website, every newspaper has that lion face today.
Yeah.
All these memes that are coming up, you know, putting a Jurassic Park theme into. People are running and there's Govis following.
But that was really good, man. This is the thing about Swansea. They actually are playing so well. They replaced Boney and it doesn't seem to have affected them at all.
But what is the thing with Swansea and their one season strikers? I mean, remember Michu?
Yes.
Michu was there, then they got Boney. And I think they liked something about Boney because they obviously kept his DNA aside.
Yeah.
And mixed some Predator strands into it and made Gomez out of it.
Yeah. Did Ayu scored against Chelsea also?
Ayu scored against Chelsea and
he got an assist.
He got an assist, like a brilliant pass, which
I think that is like a pass of the season contender if we have any one of those.
Yeah, yeah. That was.
But more than a pass, I mean, it was a brilliant pass, but I think I'd blame Romero for that. He should have come out a bit earlier. He just took, you know, stuck to his line and that didn't really help him.
I got really confused. I thought it was a great pass watching on TV and commentators didn't say anything for like till the replay was played the second time or something. I was like, was it actually a great pass or I'm just dreaming of something
now?
Second
outside of the boot pass that he has given like this season.
Yeah.
This guy is crazy, man. Are you...
So, Swansea was that. And Palace versus Chelsea. Oh, what a match that was. The first half, it was what, nil-nil in the first half.
First half was nil-nil.
Was nil-nil. And then Palace basically just... Or was Palace leading 1-0?
Palace was leading 1-0.
Palace was leading. Then it became 1-1.
81st minute, Palace scored again.
Yes. Oh, that was great. Palace. This is the thing. I think in the first podcast I said Palace will probably get in Europa League spot. And they're second in the league right now. They're at 9 points. And if they continue the way they are, I think Europa League is probably hands down. I think they may just push Tottenham out. Given how bad Tottenham's playing.
Everton, Newcastle, all three of them are, I think, struggling big time, especially Newcastle.
But that's the thing about these mid-table clubs, right? I mean, they always start the season on a brilliant note. Remember Southampton last year.
But they had a Europa League spot, which they lost the qualifier.
No,
so
the way they started off, it looked like they're going to take one of the Champions League spots.
But that's hard. And West Ham, what is this team? This team, they have to just beat the top five teams away and they lose to every other team, which is basically like in relegation by fight.
So first match, yeah, Arsenal, like Arsenal away one.
Yes, first match Arsenal, then they lose to Leicester. Then they lose to Bournemouth and everyone's like, what is Slaven Bilic doing? Is this concept of football too much for West Ham?
And then
Liverpool say, no, wait, let us play them and then you'll know what is this concept. And then they beat Liverpool 3-0.
And yeah. You can't like really blame those red cards. I mean, they started off on a brilliant note, man. West Ham, they scored within what, 5 minutes?
But
they were 2-0 up before like these games.
But Liverpool, they were 2-0 up. They were leading 1-0 within 5 minutes. I think I was watching the Chelsea versus Palace game and suddenly within like 5 minutes I see goal update. West Ham won
goal
and Liverpool. As soon as I saw that I thought ki chalo bhai, even if Chelsea lose this match, they will still finish in top four because of Liverpool and hopefully Man U next day.
But I think Liverpool again, Lovren again was, it was really bad. I think Akarsh, if you're listening, I think you were right in the very first episode only. And it's quite bizarre now that the second goal was completely his fault and now Coutinho on a red card and the next match at Old Trafford, I think
Liverpool will probably draw that match given that Manu is playing so great right now. So Liverpool may just draw that match.
But I was reading a tweet, I don't remember who was it, that the only ground where Liverpool can redeem themselves is now Old Trafford.
What do you mean?
I mean,
are
right
they going
now
to lose everywhere else?
I mean, right now.
Well, it can't be Anfield.
From wherever they are now, but yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Spurs. They are not scoring at all. They obviously have no strikers, like Man U. So they just have Harry Kane, who is probably playing marginally better than Rooney.
But yeah.
Better, really? I mean,
better than Rooney. Rooney. We're comparing to Rooney,
okay.
Man.
Yeah, standards.
Yeah, so you think Palace or Swansea can probably beat Spurs or overtake Spurs in the table this season?
By current form, I think there's no doubt about that for sure. But then again, as Baru said, they start pretty well. And as you reach, 15 matches, 20 matches, and that's when your bench starts to show up.
Yeah, but given that how they've bought this season, I was reading a statistic that if you leave out the top four clubs, the middle clubs, which includes Liverpool, by the way. So 5 from 10, they have their net spend was actually higher than the top 4 till obviously yesterday.
This season.
And this is only till yesterday. Then yesterday, obviously, KDB came, De Gea went. So Manu's net spend is still minus. And before we get to
talking about KDB, I mean, I think something that just got confirmed like right now.
Yeah.
Is that Wolfsburg have already found a replacement. They just signed Draxler.
Yeah.
And that's a great
and
signing.
How good is that replacement?
I mean,
it's not like replacing Robin Van Persie with Joel Campbell
or no one.
Yaya Sonogo.
No one.
Or
for Man U, no one.
Giroud. Oh yes, for Man U.
Yeah, talking about transfers, before we get back to the matches, how weird is it that Giroud basically comes up with a statement saying that, look guys, Arsenal should have bought Benzema. I don't know why you guys aren't buying Benzema.
Some confidence about oneself. Like,
I just want some competition.
I don't think he has confidence in Walcott also. Who started as a forward.
Yeah.
In the
wait, and Walcott is saying things like, I'm glad I played that match. I'm sorry that I missed those easy chances. But I'm glad I was getting those chances. It would have been upsetting if I wasn't getting those chances.
Yeah.
It means that I'm in the right place at the right time, but I'm just not finishing.
But I'm not finishing.
Yeah. He has the moves. He makes those runs. He just can't finish. Lack of match practice, bro.
Even Jagger's got the moves, but he's not scoring goals, man.
All right. Getting back to the weekend matches. At least we were discussing midweek when we recorded the last podcast that when Rooney scored the
hat-trick.
We were talking like whoever we talk shit about on this podcast basically starts playing well. We spoke really badly about how bad Lovren was for Liverpool till now and then he played good 3 matches. Then we said Rooney is like really bad and then he scored a hat-trick. And then we obviously abused Petr Cech a lot. He's redeemed himself. And then we thought okay, this is like the blessing of football twaddle. That we abuse them and they start playing well. But clearly, that hasn't worked out over the weekend. And everyone we abused probably deserved to be abused.
But we're talking about Rooney. How bad is he?
How bad is he playing?
Yeah. How bad is
I
he
think
playing?
One very, could have been a turning point in the match
when he got,
was when he
towards
just,
the end of the match when he got a chance.
Yeah, he was just walking towards the goal, trying to shrug. Was it Richards?
Yeah, it was Richards only, I think. But I think I don't know. Maybe it was a penalty at least.
No, it wasn't a penalty.
None of us are Man U supporters. It wasn't a penalty.
Why? Next question.
But seriously, what sense does it make to play Mata on the right and Rooney? I mean,
it made some sense. He scored a goal, man.
Yeah,
Mata scored.
Mata generally starts on the right. I mean, it depends really. Most of the time, he starts on the right.
Central-ish,
right-ish, Bengalish, whatever.
But now Rooney has some competition, as we talk about transfers again. So they have.
Yeah, they have
this guy from Monaco. What's his name?
I don't know.
Anthony Martial.
Martial.
Honestly, I've never heard of this guy until this morning.
That's exactly my point. Martial law is in place, is in Manchester. And Man U have, I mean, from report, basically said that they've paid more than 30 million for Anthony Martial. This after Van Gaal yesterday said that I'm not going to do panic buying.
Yeah.
And this.
Oh, no. But honestly, I'll just let you complete.
Yeah, this
is
the whole point, right? If they had to buy someone for 30 million pounds, what is wrong with Pedro?
Yeah.
So the way United fans are rationalizing this is, he's a 19-year-old. He can't be a panic buy. There's obviously a lot of scouting that went into.
Oh, we remember Jemba Jemba and Cleberson.
Wait a minute. Jemba Jemba of Chennai NFC?
Yes. I don't think any fans can rationalize this, but you being fans being fans, obviously all of us have to rationalize what our clubs do.
But I love what Paddy Power came up with like this evening. It's like United has just released a new flowchart to help you understand their transfers. You know, let's say Martial. Okay, Martial, if he joins United, of course, he's awesome. We needed it. If he does not join United, who needed him in the first place?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what they said for Pedro also. We don't need Pedro anymore.
Yeah, having said that, Paddy Power's got some free publicity here from us.
but I think French media is actually all gaga about Anthony Martial, that he's the best-kept secret of France. And actually, I think
French media is gaga over Sculacci also, man.
Yeah.
but apparently, he'll be making his international debut also in this weekend. International matches. I think they playing Portugal. I think
so.
Talking about international matches, India just got held to a nil-all draw by Nepal.
Yeah, and I mean,
Nepal is 160 something. India is 140.
150 something. 153 probably. I mean, it doesn't matter. We are almost at the same level.
Yeah. I mean, Guam was like what, 200?
Guam was what? I don't know the exact rank, but they were third last in the entire FIFA ranking. That I know for sure.
It's okay. Guys, you need to take positives. We drew the match.
Come on!
Yeah, it was in Belawadi. You know how far it's from the airport. It tires people out. Right. What else happened last week?
Last week, the red cards?
Yes, red cards. If La Liga had the lowest number of goals in the first weekend, basically EPL decided we'll have as many number of red cards. In fact, Stoke had 2 red cards within 31 minutes. Imagine that.
I think even
Liverpool had Coutinho off. Newcastle had
West Ham had Nobel off.
Newcastle had Mitrovic off.
Yes, he's Modi's favorite footballer, Mitrovic.
Mitrovic. Modi's favorite.
Modi.
But apparently, what he's got one red,
two yellows,
four matches,
and probably one goal or 0 goals. One goal.
I think he scored one goal.
Yeah.
But that Aston-Newcastle match, I mean, it reminded me of like Stoke of yore. The amount of fouls Newcastle were pulling off was just crazy, man. I mean,
yeah.
I think they got like what, 6 bookings, 7 bookings in the match?
Six yellow cards and 1 red card.
I mean, at a point, I was just surprised that the referee is not removing the card anymore. Because every other foul, he was booking Newcastle and he wasn't booking Aston. Even as an Arsenal fan, I was like, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, that was. But then, how many red cards? I have never seen a weekend with so many red cards.
Yeah, almost every scorecard that had that red flag on the top of it.
Yeah, exactly. One of the newer features in EPL nowadays.
Oh,
yeah.
But Stoke,
you do realize what is going to happen to Liverpool, right? Their best players got a red card.
Yes.
What's happening?
Liverpool
they face United next.
Next, yeah.
So Coutinho had a red card. Liverpool is not scoring goals.
But Swansea didn't have their best player, Montero.
Yeah, but that's okay.
And they defeated United. So
yeah.
Is this like something
no,
for
but,
Liverpool?
But then what Swansea is doing is something amazing right now. They have all their players in form.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. Liverpool, I mean, the less said, the better.
If seriously, Swansea like a fantasy Premier League.
Yeah, but I think Lovren probably will be like dropped. And where is Sakho? Why is he not playing?
In fact, I didn't see the match, but what I was reading is in the middle, when he was warming up, I think there was a huge roar from the Liverpool fans that get him on ground. I mean,
yehi mangta hai boss.
Yehi. Ispe torch maar ispe.
Anyway, coming back to red cards, I mean, it's not just the EPL that like saw its share of the red cards. Even the other leagues like Borussia Mönchengladbach got one. Then in the La Liga, Vallecano got one. Juventus
had two red
defending
cards.
Champions.
Yes. I mean, talk about Chelsea struggles. Anyone who's watching Serie A will know that Juventus have lost their first two matches. And the second match loss was thanks to, obviously, two red cards. And Arsenal had a hand in it.
Yeah. A match-winning save, maybe, from Wojciech Szczesny.
Yes. First in 4 years.
Bastia had two red cards.
Yeah. So, all over Europe, there's just been red cards all over. You think, is it because of bad defending?
Or
because
bad refereeing. I mean, there are some wrong calls. I mean, you know, maybe a yellow could have sufficed, but you gave him a red card.
I don't see. I think almost all the cards which I've seen seem like a genuine red card.
Yeah, but ask those 40,000 home fans in the stadium, right?
Anyway, just talking a little more about other leagues. La Liga, Thomas Vermaelen scores for Barcelona and Barcelona win over Malaga.
Messi can't score.
Messi can't score.
Neymar
Ronaldo
can't score.
Neymar can't
score.
Suarez scored the last weekend.
Okay. Shh, cut that shit out.
Yes, but Vermaelen, against all odds, is one of the top scorers of La Liga right now.
Against all odds, I mean. Vermaelen scoring goals is nothing new for an Arsenal fan.
Oh,
but that is one of the reasons we sold him, because
he scored goals.
He's a defender.
So
what? We need people at the back. One second he's like standing next to Van Persie, and you know, Koscielny's looking around and like, kaha gaya.
But is that the reason Arsenal sold Vermaelen?
And injuries. I mean, yeah, I mean, he put his shift in, but
he was injured for the first season of Barcelona, so clearly he gets injured a lot.
So at that point, it did seem like, yeah, good sale.
Yeah, having said that, if that's the trend, then Wilshere has to go to Barcelona next year. He's been injured for 4 years now.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if Diaby is already coaching for Barcelona this year.
Yes, yeah. Talking about transfers.
Masia is actually taking tips from Diaby. How do we injure these guys?
Yes, talking about transfers, given that these are the last 2 days of transfers, and given that Mourinho and Van Gaal have said that there'll be no panic buys, it's obviously time for panic buys. Wait.
Yeah.
Whose phone is ringing again?
Baru, it's your phone.
It's my phone again. Oh, wait. it's John Bhai Patel, our...
What? Why is he calling?
Well, as you know, he is our correspondent based in Manchester right now.
From the greater area
but,
of Manchester.
I mean, it's not like Manchester. Wait, let me speak to him. Yeah, John. Suche. What? No way. Dude, Vangal just said there's going to be no panic buying and now he's on for panic selling. Wait, let me just write this stuff down.
Yeah, guys, this is some breaking news. So bear with us for like 5 seconds and we'll probably like get back to you.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, guys, you won't believe this. De Gea just signed for Real Madrid.
Woo! Finally!
And secondly, United just bought this guy from
Monaco.
Monaco,
yeah.
His name is Anthony Martial.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we've already spoke about it. So John is obviously late in telling us.
Oh, there's a time zone difference actually. So, I mean, he wasn't sure if the daylight has like hit India yet or not.
Then, what else did he say, dude?
Oh, well, there were a couple of things from the rest of England. Joey Barton, who was like a free agent up till like a few hours back.
I thought no one was picking him up.
Well, Burnley did.
Oh.
I don't think the press has actually reached Burnley with the stories on Joey Barton. So anyway, Burnley have now signed one new player and three new red cards for this season.
Only three?
He's going to play only 2 matches.
Hey, Baru, John just messaged, even Hernandez is gone somewhere, it seems.
Oh yeah, I mean, Javier Hernandez...
Yeah, there was a rumor that he was about to sign for Leverkusen. Is that happening?
Yeah, he's
United
gone.
And more recently Real Madrid super sub is going to become Leverkusen super sub. For
and I think he's
season.
Gone for sub 10 million also.
But
think.
Whatever, I was actually reading he was negotiating with West Ham on £100 million per week salary.
100,000.
100,000, yeah. 100 million, like, sorry. £100,000 per week salary. But then he put a clause with West Ham that for every goal he scores, he needs £90,000.
That is £270,000 in the entire season. No?
And
no, but it's Hernandez, man. He gets those goals
and West Ham said, sorry, boy.
Bitch, please.
And Van Gaal was saying like 3 days back that he is into my scheme of things for this season and what.
So he is a part of the scheme, right?
Yeah. And
the offloading scheme.
And there's more Man U news coming out. Clearly, they're obviously not buying anyone. Johnny Evans goes to West Brom on a transfer of, and I think it's a 4-year contract. And Blackett, who I thought was a upcoming star of United last year, they were
reserve striker.
Yeah, the fans and everyone are like this. We are still promoting youth and everything. So Blackett goes to Celtic on loan. Given that I think Man U had a net spend of what 14 million this 14 year.
14 million before.
So they have this transfer season can be like summed into like probably one line. We don't get who we want and everyone else buys our players.
And Adnan.
Wait, that sounded like Austin from a couple of seasons back.
Yeah, Adnan Januzaj has also gone to Dortmund
on loan.
Yeah, he's gone on loan. But yeah, he's.
Oh.
And he's already put his picture also on Twitter and also that's fine.
Well, this is the thing about the last day of the transfer season, man. I mean, second last day rather. I mean,
it's the last day in Europe. It's last day in Europe. It's the last day in England tomorrow.
So all the Spanish and the Italian transfers had to come in, I think.
Yeah.
We're just seeing those pour in right now.
I mean, I got to tell you guys, it's really advantageous having your own correspondents sitting in England. At least we get news real time.
Thanks, John. So maybe we'll actually try and get John sometime on the podcast. So thanks, John. I mean,
yes.
If you're listening.
And while talking about transfers.
Of course, he's listening. He's our correspondent.
He has to listen.
No, I mean, he's actually tracking all the other transfers also.
So John, listen to
us. He's always going to go back home or come to office. And in transit, guys, is actually one of the best times to listen to a
podcast. Yes. Please, podcast has to be listened to when you're either working and don't want to do that work, or the best time to listen to is in transit. That's some podcast tips for you guys.
But do you guys know of any new podcasts that are up and coming that one can listen to on in transit?
In Football Twaddle?
Football Twaddle?
Yeah. What else?
Pehle main bahut bimar tha.
Wolfsburg, that is a really good signing. That probably, that's how clubs have to deal with.
Yeah, it was pretty quick, man.
KDB gone, get Julian Draxler in. And Ivan Perisic, he's gone to Inter Milan from Wolfsburg, but they don't seem to be. Fernando Llorente has gone from Juventus to Sevilla. Who else? This is just so tiring. We probably will do a special 5-minute or 10-minute set tomorrow after the transfer season is done. Because there's just too much to keep up
football
right now.
Football Twaddle extra.
Yes, this week we'll have probably 1-2 football twaddles extra. Right, that's enough about transfers. It's time for true or false.
Da, 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 da.
Ladies and gentlemen, on one corner you have the previous champion,
Arush,
weighing 335 pounds.
And here, challenging Arush, is Tanuj Baru.
The challenger, Baru.
Yes.
Ooh,
all right.
Baru,
all right, rules are the same as last time, 1 point for each, and the fifth question is buzzer round. And this time, I'm going to start with Arush again. All right,
guys, come on, guys.
Silence, please, silence, please, silence,
Baru,
please.
Baru, ask your fans to just shut up.
I love you guys.
Question to Arush.
Again?
Rende.
Pause karte hain,
No, let's go. Mario Balotelli had only one assist in his Manchester City career. True or false?
False.
I'm sorry, buddy. It is true.
I said confidence ke sath bolo. Oh, main City man.
He just had one assist.
Mario Balotelli, basically, let me read. He scored only 14 goals from 152 shots, which in that season was the lowest shot conversion ratio in almost entire Europe. And he had only one assist, which was to Sergio Aguero for winning the Premier League.
Aguero!
The final one.
Yes, that was his only City assist.
So Baru, the thing is over now. Your 500 rupees are over now. Now you have to play it.
Okay. Question for Baru. Luka Modric and Mark Viduka are cousins.
Yes.
That's true.
Come on!
Yes!
Ta-da-da-da.
The challenger leads round one. Mark Viduka. 1-0.
कंधों से मिलते हैं कंधे कंधों से मिलते हैं हम चलते हैं जब वैसे तो दिशित के सब मिलते हैं.
All right. After that pep talk or pep song, Arush, the question for you. There is something common with Gary Cahill's son, Eden Hazard's son, Fernando Torres' son, and the Chelsea logo.
Wasn't it true or false?
True or false. There is something common between these four things.
Yeah, all of them are boys. True.
The logo?
Logo?
Yes.
Oh.
And you
Chelsea
already,
ke logo.
You already answered it. It is false.
Oh,
so, the what is common is this. Chelsea's logo has a lion. In Latin, lion is Leo. And Hazard, Gary Cahill and Fernando Torres' son are named Leo.
Mind blown.
Mind blown, Arush. Anyway, as you can hear, the disappointment in the defending champion's voice is pretty clear.
Yeah, sounds like Chelsea, you know.
Yes.
I know. He's going to
give reasons like probably Mourinho or Van Gaal very, very soon. Anyway, Tanoj, the question. Football Manager in 2005 was the most successful in China when it released.
False.
That is true.
Come on!
It is false. But
Cha-cha-cha-cha!
And do you know the reason why it was false? It is quite stupid,
because
actually.
What? Whom?
So, Football Manager in their game basically put Tibet and Taiwan as separate countries. And China basically banned the game, saying that it threatened the...
National integrity.
Yes, it threatened the national integrity of China and the Republic of China and the territorial integrity and sovereignty of China. And Chinese gamers absolutely hated it and they opposed it. And that's why they banned the game.
They opposed the game or the ban?
They opposed the game. They're like, no, this is what Chinese government said. So clearly Chinese gamers wanted to play it then.
Obviously.
Anyway, Baru technically has won this. 2-0. But I'll still ask the last question. Let me ask Arush. Let him try and win 1 point at least. The biggest victory in football was 36-0.
True.
False.
Nails. Okay, Baru, since you're so confident, what was the biggest victory in football?
3 digits.
Did it happen very recently?
It happened a few
3 digits
years ago.
And it was a mark. It was an act of revolt.
Yes, that is actually true. 149-0 was the biggest result in football.
149-0.
Yeah, so there's a team called SOE and they were playing AS Adima in Madagascar.
I was going to say Mozambique.
The previous match they played drew 2-2, but then the referee awarded a penalty so that SOE lost the game and hence, or drew the game and they lost. Or they drew the game. Actually, they lost the game. It was 2-2 and they lost the game after giving penalty and then they lost the title, and as a mark of protest against that decision, they basically next game they came and they scored 149 own goals.
149.
Anyway, that was true or false. Given Arush is so disappointed,
wipe out.
Me being the referee,
there was just one team which was playing a proper quiz. The other team was just playing defensively.
minute 33, minute 39, minute 64, minute 81. That was true or false.
I did not see it.
Yes.
Okay, so we continue with our section on ISL, and this week we talk about Northeast United. Okay, so Northeast United, the team, it is owned and operated by John Abraham. Earlier it was also, I think, FC Lejeune also had a stake in it, but
yeah,
now they have
Shillong,
sold it.
Shillong Lejeune
also had a stake in it, but now they have sold it off. So yeah, and yeah, last week
we actually made an error saying that the stadium was Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium, which...
But it's a safe guess, right?
Yeah, it's a safe guess. Actually, the safer guess would have been Indira Gandhi Stadium.
No, I think the safest guess would have been Gandhi Stadium.
So,
one of them.
So, Northeast United Stadium is Indira Gandhi Stadium and it's in Guwahati. I think one interesting fact about it is that the stadium had a much smaller capacity of at least 10 or 15,000. And to follow FIFA regulation, before ISL started, they actually had to upgrade the stadium to a seating capacity of 35,000-36,000. So clearly, there is some massive investment going on.
What sort of FIFA regulations govern this?
I think
UC clubs in EPL.
Yeah.
See, with 16,000.
Has 15,000, 16,000.
I think what they had to do was I don't know exactly.
At least it's an exhibition league. It's not a professional league, right?
But I don't know, man, what it is. We have to research more. So we will talk about it next week. But I guess they were trying to make it all seater or whatever. But even that's not even true, because in Germany, standing is allowed on the weekends. So anyway, they had to upgrade it to follow some sort of FIFA regulations. So clearly, they are putting in money in the stadium and everything. And I think Northeast United was the youngest team in the last ISL.
I mean, one of the best things about Northeast, which I think I found, was the home support was crazy. Because Northeast is actually, it's trying to show itself as one club, eight states.
Yes.
Right.
Actually, it's like the trying to be the West Indies sort of
exactly.
a thing.
So, the way, I mean, people were actually coming out and supporting them was pretty good. I mean, the crowd support was live.
And it is one of the places where I think if you see India's best footballers, most of them, I mean, if you see the recent one, Sunil Chhetri, and before that was Bhaichung Bhutia, they're all from the Northeast region itself. So, I mean, this year they had a New Zealander.
With Nepali roots.
They had a New Zealander.
I actually stumbled upon this conversation on Facebook or something once, you know, before an Indian-Nepal match, the last time it happened.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, so Chhetri is going to destroy you guys or something. And those guys are like, haan, ye bhi toh Nepali hai. We're like, yeah, but he's playing in India.
These are from some Nepali fans from Nepal, basically saying that he's also Nepali, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
How low can you stoop?
Oh, yes. What would we not to do get Wahab Riaz in a cricket team?
So, okay, for the second season, I mean, if you would remember, Northeast United has got Simão
Sabrosa.
The Portuguese international is their marquee signing this year. Where was he before this? I mean, I really don't even know.
Simão, wasn't he in Liverpool once? Or
I'll just say Benfica. I mean, that's a safe bet.
Yeah, he was not in Porto, so let's just call it Benfica. But yeah, I mean, the thing about Northeast is they actually are... I mean, they're actually staying true to what they said. Last year also, they said, we are here to take youngsters, give them experience.
And they are giving them.
And
they're
doing that. Yes. Last time, they had Juan Capdevila, the Spanish guy. And this time, they have Simão. And they actually... Oh, yes, they have... We are yet to confirm this is Yaya Sonogo's cousin. But they have one Sonogo playing for Northeast.
What's his first name?
Boubacar.
Boubacar Sonogo. So Arsenal fans, if you have need to find a natural team to support in ISL, it has to be Northeast United. At least like emotionally, you have to support them.
Well, I mean, even Anelka was an Arsenal player.
Yeah, but
amongst many other clubs.
That was long, long ago. Who else? Who's their coach, guys? I mean, I was reading that
Cesar Farias.
Yeah,
Cesar Farias.
And while reading, I mean, obviously now none
Fun
of us...
Fun fact about Cesar Farias is that he was actually the first coach...
to get Venezuela.
To defeat Brazil.
Yes, and...
I mean, he was in charge of Venezuela when they defeated Brazil for the first time in their history.
Yeah, and if you also look at his history as coach, he basically coached a lot of under-19s, under-20s, and a lot... I think his last job was Venezuela under-20 for taking them to World Cup, if I remember right.
Yeah, so he did coach Tijuana after that.
Okay.
That was just for 1 year.
Yes, otherwise if you see most of his... So, I mean, what we say is about Northeast is we don't know if it's going to win the ISL. They finished 8th last season, but...
They started off well last season, but...
They were drawing a lot of matches last season.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't an easy team to beat, but I think later on, the draws just piled up against them and...
Yeah, but I mean, having said that, they seem to be the most consistent team.
They also seem to be the most energetic team, actually. I didn't follow ISL much last season.
I think that's because of the youngsters or something.
Yeah, but
I think
Kerala was the most energetic, but then that's just opinion here.
So let's talk about Kerala in the next episode.
Next one.
Sure.
We talk about Kerala, but...
Let's talk about Bombay in the next one. I mean, they've got some really good signings. I mean...
Should we wait for the transfer season to close to talk about Bombay? Or
No, I mean, I think it's about time we got spoke something about our home team.
Yes.
Mumbai City. And let's do that in the next one.
Yeah, and the last thing about Northeast is they basically are staying true to what they said. They've got a coach who basically has a wealth of experience in coaching under-19s, under-20s, and everything. And their team also has a lot of youngsters. So if any Indian football fans are looking for where will a lot of players come from. It could very well be from Northeast United.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that's a good reason to support them in this ISL.
Yes.
That's it about Northeast. Next week, as we are discussing, it's either Kerala or Mumbai. So depending on who makes a bigger transfer this week, we are going to talk about one of them.
Yeah, you guys can leave your comments on who you want us to discuss.
Yes. So Ranbir and Sachin, if you're listening, the heat is on. Who are you guys going to sign?
Yeah, I think let's just give Sachin the veto power. I mean, obviously, if he tweets, we'll just listen to him for one.
Yeah, RT from Sachin, we'll talk about, we'll make a special podcast only on Kerala Blasters FC on a weekly basis.
So that's all for today. So that's all for today. I think we spoke a lot about the transfer season and the amazing last week we had. Next week, obviously, is an international
week. We will basically probably try and go through the 4 weeks of football and see what we've missed out, any big stories or how teams are playing. And we'll also talk about internationals. And also look out for two extra bits during this week where we talk about Champions League and
the further transfer season, because tomorrow is obviously the last day in England.
Yes.
So we can still expect some fireworks tomorrow also.
Alrighty.
Yeah, Arsenal.
Benzema, come on, even Giroud wants you. Alrighty, bye Arush.
Bye Saru. Bye Baru.
Bye Baru. Bye bye.
Take care, guys.
Bye bye.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes, thanks for listening. Bye bye.